Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. It's our midweek edition, one where we get to relax, stretch, do a little bit of reader interaction via Twitter questions. And we also get to do this. We get to update previous podcasts that might have been recorded before certain things happened. For instance, Ryan, we recorded on Sunday afternoon, and what did we say about Al Golden at Miami?
We have a correction to issue. We said Al Golden would not be terminated before the end of the season for financial reasons. And within, I think, 2 hours of that, Al Golden got fired, despite financial reasons.
Someone wrote a check.
Someone did write a check, and that might have been Adidas.
Ruh.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were wrong. We were dead wrong. Mm-hmm. We were so very wrong. In fact, we joked about them running around trying to raise money at the last minute, asking someone for a check. And it turns out that's exactly what they were doing.
That was happening while we were making that joke.
That's kind of always happening.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, people asking for money for nothing. People asking for money for no possible return. Like, joining us, by the way, from Kennesaw, Jason Kirk. What's your possible investment if I come to you and I say, I'm going to ask you to invest in an absent Al Golden?
So what I'm paying for is
the absence of Al Golden.
It's less Al Golden.
It's like mafia protection money where you are paying for something to not happen.
Yeah, it's like, let's see. It's like a bono.
Mm-hmm.
Buy one, not one.
Buy one, get nothing.
Yeah.
Boggin.
Yeah, I'll pay about like $6 million or so. It's probably more. Didn't he have like 4 years left? So it's like $12 million. Yeah, $8 million.
He was there.
Hey, I don't know what Al Golden's exact buyout is. We will find that out because it's probably an extraordinary amount of money.
It sounds really bad. Like, man, you're so bad at your job. You're worth negative $8 million. But then it's like,
but that negative eight,
I got $8 million.
Yeah, that's plus eight for you.
Well,
it's not a zero sum game. It's all pure profit for you.
Mm-hmm.
It technically, by the way, his buyout is undisclosed.
What is my buyout?
Your buyout?
Yeah,
that's gigantic.
It's enormous.
Sweet.
It's amazing. Well, you actually have quite an incentive to just get fired.
I mean, that's all the Everyday Should Be Saturday commenters want. I'm just trying to find a common ground where they get me fired and I get, I don't know, 2.5.
2.5 what?
Million. Dollars.
Million what?
American. American dollars.
Yeah, you
modern, not like in 1 year when inflation has gone off the rails.
No, right, that's fine. We can wait for that to happen. We can wait for the fall of the global economy and then pay me out.
2.5 million Lao Kip. That's 2.5 million Kip.
You know what? I'll take it.
You know, I mean, it would still be a pretty significant amount of money even at laughable exchange rates. So you'd be okay. But Al Golden's buyout, it does not have to be specified at all because it's a private school.
It might be in Lao Kip.
It might be. He made 2.5 mil this year.
You're getting paid in dong, son.
And I think if just we say he's probably getting paid for every year left on his contract, then it's something like 10.
Yeah.
But it could be lower.
Yeah, I'm just going to guess that at worst, Big Al gets out of this with 6 mil and comes out of it looking fresh and clean, just looking just so swanky. He'll probably be like, he's probably the guest picker on game day, right?
He's looking like he comes in like beaming, happiest we've ever seen him.
Money cannon?
Oh, money cannon. Yeah, just spread that shit around.
He's got the crowd. Oh, it is temple.
I'm back in Philly. I'm spreading Benjamins.
Bring Al back to do something. I don't know.
This is all part of the plan. There's no way that it isn't. Al's going to come back. Like finessing and not stressing, just with the money cannon. He's going to go back and be like Temple's biggest booster, period. It'll be great.
It's brilliant.
I also wanted to do this, which was before we do anything, I wanted to get through sort of a list of coaches just to test our powers, because we said that Al Golden was probably secure through the end of the season with great confidence, and then he was fired. So I thought what we could do is we could just test our powers by mentioning other people who were absolutely safe.
Mark D'Antonio is not going anywhere. Definitely long-term lifer in Michigan State. Can't see how he would leave that job. Definitely can't see how he would leave it early. Impossible. Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's there forever. Yep. Definitely wouldn't. Of all the people that Mark D'Antonio wouldn't return to, it would be his alma mater.
No.
Not his hometown of hometown school of UTEP.
No, none of these are possible. Is definitely not taking the Dolphins job.
Good God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Let's just see what happens. That's all I'm saying.
That's why I asked you to imagine, because right.
Because know,
it won't happen.
Why would that happen? He definitely won't get the Bucs aren't going to fire Lovie Smith and bring Mark D'Antonio down starting in week 10. That's crazy. Yeah. That would never happen.
That you would never get a situation where Bill O'Brien was hired at USC,
mm-hmm.
and then to replace him at the Texans, they hired Kevin Sumlin.
He's
good in there. The only thing Texas A&M will ever do coach-wise is hire the perfect offensive coordinator that'll satisfy Aggie fans.
Exactly. Someone who's going to guarantee at least 35 to 40 points a game, depending on the situation. They'd never do that.
Yep. The only problem there is whoever's calling the offensive plays. The plays, just if you draw the plays out, you can just look at them and tell they're wrong. Everything else is fine. So... just pencil in Kevin Sumlin there for a good 25 years, and each one will get better each time.
And I don't even know why I bother, if A&M were to lose Kevin Sumlin, they certainly wouldn't turn to someone relatively close in the region, an accomplished multi-school coach, Skip Holtz. They definitely wouldn't hire Skip Holtz.
Mack Brown would absolutely not be the coach at A&M.
I'm just going to say, Ryan, breaking character here, if that actually happened, like, that's a Rivers of Blood level prophecy that you just laid out there.
I'm not sorry.
No. the Skip Holtz motto is, I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry.
The other person that I would say is totally safe that we would want to, test our powers on, and would not be going anywhere, Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. Mm-mm. No way that he wouldn't want out of there. To take something like, I don't know, the Alabama job, just in case, it came open, which it wouldn't. Nick Saban's there for life. He's a lifer.
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying. I mean, of all the ones we could possibly swear on with all our confidence, it would be that Nick Saban is never going to leave Alabama,
right? And
I mean, if we can guarantee anything with everything we're worth, with all our credibility, it's that.
And Tim Brewster is definitely not going to be named coach in waiting at Florida State just in case something happens. None of these things are gonna. Why are we even talking about them?
Good God, this fantasy took a dark turn.
Yeah, I'm Dark Man X.
Barking at your future. Yeah, let's
let us pray.
Leah, let's do some reader mail. Right. We haven't done reader mail in a while. Right. Jason, you want to start with yours?
Let's see here. Well, here's a quick one from Stunned Monkey on Twitter.
Mm.
Is there any reason at this point to be an Indiana football fan? Let's see. Well, your other options are Tom Crean and the Colts. So, yeah, I guess so.
Damn. Yeah, damn. That's pretty. That turned dark.
I hope the Pacers are good.
I mean, I would say the Pacers, but still, I'm not over that photograph of the five Pacers starters in dressed up like a boy band.
Yeah,
I think maybe if you're a football fan with ADD, you might really enjoy being an Indiana fan, because all the good stuff happens well before your attention span shuts off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 2 quarters in. hey, we're up 14-12. We're leading 17-10. We're tied. We're only down by two TDs.
It's important to treat Indiana football like the movie Old Yeller as presented to an 8-year-old, where you're just like, boy, this was a great 40-minute movie, wasn't it? Just a boy and his dog.
The key is to always have a late lunch or something that you got to get to it at like 2 or so, mm-hmm. if it's Eastern, whichever time zone Indiana's in. No one knows. Aren't they the state? It's them or Arizona that just like says, nah, we don't really fuck
it's both.
Time zones
it's
and daylight
both, but
savings.
But Arizona is also like Martin Luther King. No.
It's like a time pit. Like, yeah. There's no time. What time you think it is? But yeah, just schedule something so you don't have to watch the fourth quarter and you'll always be happy.
Yeah, that would be another good reason. And I can think of one more reason.
You're Antoine Randall L.
If you're Antoine Randall L. and you're listening to this podcast, or if you're Tevin Coleman, I think those are two good reasons to be an Indiana football fan. Because it got you a successful NFL career. Somehow. I think mainly this. If you're really talented, the backwards pitch at Indiana would be this. Son, you can come here. And if you are ridiculously talented, you will be the most obviously ridiculously talented person on the field. If you go to Alabama, well,
you're a big fish in a big pond.
Man, there's all kinds of shine, right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna have a hard time getting somebody to pick up on your unique variety of talent bling. But if you come to Indiana, I guarantee you that by relief and comparison to your surroundings alone, there will be no camouflage. You will stand out. You will obviously be a gifted football player.
It's like when aging musical acts stop playing arenas and start playing, you know, small clubs. You need to be the live playing a 400 person venue. Lightning crashes at Indiana football.
Wow, you know,
really, I inadvertently just compared Indiana football to an abortion, and I'm sorry, or a miscarriage, whichever it was.
I feel like this makes, if you're an Indiana player, just feel like this makes it sounds like you get heckled a lot.
Well, you can hear them heckling,
it's
too.
It's personal. It's much more, it's artisanal heckling.
Do you want an intimate experience? Come to Indiana. Ooh. If you missed this, by the way, Indiana surrendered. Indiana was only down 2 points with 12 minutes and change left in the game to Michigan State. And Michigan State ended up winning 52-26.
It was this thing where it was like, wow, not only is Indiana finally going to do this, Michigan State's finally going to do this. And then the score ended up probably something like what it should have been all along.
Yeah,
it was a lot like watching a triathlon video where somebody's body completely runs out of salt. Like, they're done. Look, that's as hard as they could go.
Huh. Mark D'Antonio had the emergency brake on the whole time. That's why it smells like that.
There's only 400 yards to go. Yeah, he's pooping his pants, and he's on his hands and knees, and he's not going to make it. That was Indiana.
Indiana. Well, they probably got 400 yards, but yeah.
Yeah. The question that I would like to answer would be this. Why isn't the $300 Ford Aerostar a B1G rivalry trophy yet? That comes from VT_Ben, a.k.a. Happy Hello Green.
Don't stop.
Here's a picture of dork-ass Tom Green.
Just don't stop.
I think people think I hate Tom Green.
You
and I'm
do.
Like, no, I don't hate Tom Green. I'm fascinated by him.
I don't think there's any, like, college basketball coach Spencer could have a serious opinion on, other than like adoring Calipari.
Okay.
Those are my opinions, my serious opinions on college basketball coaches. I adore John Calipari, and I think he is a saint walking among us. And I think that Tom Crean is funny looking and fascinating. That's it. That's the depth of my opinions.
You would probably talk a little shit about Bo Ryan, but I digress.
No. Bo Ryan, I have this entire alternate life written out for Bo Ryan.
Jesus.
Like, his life is like a saloon owner in rural Wisconsin, right?
Oh, so this is sort of like a Deadwood North.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like that Bo Ryan's the guy in Plaid who you go to, like, you know, file your football picks with. And if you're a little late with the cash, well, Bo's going to show up with a six-pack of Schaefer and some brass knuckles.
Interestingly,
and like when you're bar hopping and you go through his bar, he has a long list of other bars that you cannot go to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're like, hey, you. Listen, I just talked to everybody. You you really don't want to go there.
Interestingly enough, as in Deadwood, the only word he says is cocksucker. So
that's it. He communicates entirely in it. And as an amazing coach for the results, a whiteboard and the word cocksucker and got to an NCAA final.
I'm just picturing the Paul Johnson believe it meme now.
Cocksucker. Believe it, cocksucker.
Hashtag cocksucker. That's
Someone please make that so we can laugh at it.
Remember, go see that. This is artful profanity, right? Because mm-hmm. it's Deadwood.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing when people are like really intellectual or serious with capital S. They're like, Deadwood was an incredible series because of the dialogue. And I'm like, they got to say all the shit they wanted. It was awesome. It's a bunch of drunk cowboys saying the word cocksucker over and over again.
Had Nick Offerman full frontal.
Yeah, there's a beautiful man.
That's art.
That's art. Nick Offerman, full frontal nudity and the word cocksucker. And people are like, David Milich is a genius. And I'm like, yeah, that's because even smart people want to see dudes get wasted. That's it. It's so sublime. Yeah, that dude got hit in the face with a bottle. The show's great. So this is, by the way, this is a question asking which rivalry. I think Ryan had an answer to this before I could even get one that is perfect. Which Big Ten rivalry would be the $300 Ford Aerostar van that would likely burst into flame shortly after purchase?
Oh, it's Rutgers, Maryland. Rutgers, Maryland needs a rivalry trophy to begin with. And the $300 Aerostar sort of evokes that image of you've hollowed out some of the paneling and you're smuggling something you shouldn't up the I-95 corridor. And you're only going one way. Like, that's the nice thing about this.
Something going straight from Cuba to
maybe, you know, I don't want to just, I don't even know if it's necessarily as sexy as drugs. It could just be medical supplies. It could just be like, yeah, man, I got a shitload of,
it's prosthetic legs.
Prosthetics, it could just be Al Golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be Al Golden chopped up into pieces.
I didn't say chopped up.
Yeah, Jesus, Ryan.
Why do you always do this, Ryan?
You are from Tampa. He's got to be in pieces.
No. We don't want that. I didn't say Al Holden.
It's Miami. What do you think? Do you think? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. You think they're paying him? Okay. this is I guarantee you this is some Running Man shit where they're gonna show him, here's video of Al Golden on a beach. Nope, his corpse is long gone.
Has Al Golden tweeted today? Golden Al, I believe is
the last thing people reported was that Al Golden went to the hospital to see a player's sick mother. Has anyone said that he left that hospital?
I'm telling you, man. If he ends up at Philly, there's a double reason for that. One, because he's the godfather of the modern Temple football program. And two, because that's the only place you could go to be safe from people who would come from Miami to hurt you.
I guarantee a week from now, Miami PD is going to be like, yeah, we found a corpse on the beach with all the fingerprints and the face removed and all the teeth pulled out. And it's wearing a billowy white dress shirt and an orange tie and the hair is immaculate.
Al Golden's last words are, oh, now they come 45 minutes to see me.
Oh, that's a good cue to go to the next question. We've peaked on that one. Ryan.
Let's go to this question from Chris Jensen at Chris F. Jensen. What NFL coach would be the most catastrophic hire for USC? I think this is a question that has some depth to it because your initial reaction is probably a bad coach, maybe someone like a Jim Caldwell, for instance. But
who has already been...
No, that went great.
Yeah.
He's already been a college coach. He was actually already an ACC coach.
Yeah, he's got the experience.
Yeah. And if you're just now joining us, picture the Lions record this year transposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the same.
Yeah, I will say this. Jim Caldwell was at Wake Forest University, where nobody has been consistently successful except for Jim Grobe. Remember, Wake Forest only hires guys named Jim. Okay.
Jim Tom Sula is going to be amazing at Wake Forest.
I know. He's bound for Wake. No. Jim Tom Sula, he's going to Boston College.
Yeah,
that's totally where he's
going.
That's
a pit, man, if I've ever seen one.
Don't do this. You're right, though.
Don't do this.
I don't want you to be right, but you're right. I'll have you know that in all of his seasons at Wake Forest from 1993 to the year 2000, Jim Caldwell had a seven-year plan, because in 1999 he finally got them to a winning record, 7-5, 3-5 in conference. That was the best he could do, and then got them to the Aloha Bowl, which they won. They won the Aloha Bowl. So if you hire him, you're guaranteed to get at least one winning season in 8 years.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Now, that would be disastrous, but there's I think we can do worse. Like, my suggestion would be Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher is a good answer, although I feel like he is a name that is occasionally connected with college jobs for no goddamn reason.
Well, we know
USC specifically.
And we know last time Auburn looked into him.
Oh, God.
And then hired, like, the total opposite in Gus Malzahn, former high school coach. But I guess they just wanted to take a whole look at every possible option. But, yeah, he's often connected with USC. Not only does he have a school tie, they also, you know, everyone assumes they want to go as pro style as possible. And there is nothing more NFL style than Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. Are you a running back? Do you have knees? Would you like to not have them? Cool. He'll run you 42 times a game.
I'll throw out Andy Reid. Andy Reid, the epitome of what people hate about NFL coaches. He takes field goals and punts in entirely too safe situations. He has a poor grasp of the clock and how to manage it. I can only imagine how the rule changes between the NFL and college football would drive him insane. And he really only succeeds when he has, like, a fantastic quarterback. And in college football, hoo boy, that is even less of a guarantee than it is in the NFL.
I got another one. This is the hot take. The hot take edition.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Hot take edition. And that'd be Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Can you imagine anyone who would have less patience?
Especially because...
I feel like that's just...
Well,
to me, that's just Nick Saban. You give him 5 years, he'll be fine.
The difference, though, is that Bill Belichick has embraced the philosophy that if you're too much of, with a couple of special exceptions, if you're too much trouble, yeah, we'll just replace you with somebody.
To me, that's just Nick Saban. This is all sounding the same.
Yeah, but here's the difference that Saban actually understood, like. Saban actually, I think, enjoys recruiting. If he didn't enjoy recruiting, he wouldn't be there as long as he's been there. He wouldn't have done this for as long as he's done this.
And he wouldn't be pissed off when playing in conference and championship games and bowl games took away recruiting time for him.
Which he's on the record as saying.
He's on the record.
Whereas Bill Belichick would have to go out and put on something other than a sweatshirt and sweatpants with no underwear to go and talk to somebody's mom about how.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah. That's where this falls apart.
I don't know. See, we always think this though, but then you see the photos of like, you know, his lady friend. I don't know exactly what was going on, and you know, younger and like, didn't he have some sort of a complicated romantic thing?
Don't we all?
No.
No, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I don't mean to do the like, if you can get a hot babe, you can recruit, none of that type
but
of stuff.
But you're suggesting,
like,
that he shows
there is a little bit more charm to him than he likes to let on.
Yeah, and I think there's that much of it. Nick Saban,
okay,
for all of his perversity, Nick Saban in the room. I mean, The Blind Side did a very accurate job of capturing any report you've ever heard about Nick Saban in the living room with the mom and with the family. You don't do that unless you enjoy some element of being the person who outpitches somebody. I don't think Bill Belichick hasn't been to a grocery store in years. I don't think he enjoys trying to pitch anyone on anything.
True. And I mean, like, you see Saban with the media and he plays him like a fucking fiddle every week, and Belichick just sort of like burps at them.
I'll just stand here. What do you want to know? Our next,
stand here until you're done talking.
I can name
you ask about like a punt rule, and then I'll talk about it for 8 minutes.
Yeah. And then I'll give like the entire history of football in exactly 928 words in an answer. That's what he's like. This is not somebody who This is not somebody who you want on the recruiting angle. This is not somebody who you want. Do you think Bill Belichick's showing up for a pep rally? Do you think he's thanking the band?
Hey, welcome to Midnight Madness. Oh, God.
Yeah, he's going. Yeah, he's going to the women's basketball game.
Hurry, man. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Okay, yeah, I'm sold. But I've got a better one.
Oh no,
Jay Gruden.
Oh man,
the man who is currently has some sort of like a death bond with Kirk Cousins, who did manage to come back and beat last year's worst team, which
you
was
like,
a gigantic turning point. Yes, we all did like it, Kirk.
You like that?
There are t-shirts now. There are you like that t-shirts.
Of course there are. The Redskins are probably printing them on t-shirts they stole off of poor children in Africa.
Hey, those poor children said that they were fine with it.
Hooray, our probably second best quarterback actually beat a team. Yay. So bring Jay to college where he can like fuck up some extremely promising 4-star dual threat and like just ride with the backup for no reason at all. That'll be great.
Before we move on, I just want to bring up one coach, and this is mostly to antagonize one of our coworkers who won't even listen to this podcast. The coach who I think would implode in just the most embarrassing personal way in college, that would be Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh.
Jesus. Somebody floated him as like it was on NFL Network or something, said like Sean Payton to USC, and it's like
No.
Do you know why USC just fired its previous coach?
Full disclosure, Jason Kirk is a Falcons fan.
Well, yeah. Did you hear about the drinking and the rumored other medications? Mm-hmm. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Sean has been known to enjoy medications.
Although,
This is more Jason-induced Falcons fans.
I think we all agree.
If Sean Payton brought Ryan to Southern Cal with him, I'm fully on board.
Well, because as we know, whoever is head coach will be fired. And if you're talking about Rob Ryan, head coach of USC, okay, we're all on board.
Oh, my God. It's basically Ed Orgeron as Santa Claus.
It's just long-haired Ed.
Dude, it's basically like heavy metal album cover Ed Orgeron.
Yes.
Yeah, like seriously, like Game of Thrones, Edward Geron.
What we do is we also, since those two guys are new to the college game, we bring them, we have sort of a chaperone, which obviously that's Coach O. Yeah. And then we're left with Rob Ryan and Coach O, like sort of sumo wrestling for control of USC in October.
The program that has swords.
Oh, my God. Let's do it. Sean Payton, USC.
Yeah, this is a terrible idea, and those opinions do not represent the opinions of Vox Media, SBNation.com, Media, SBN, anything with .com on the end of it, really, that I'm attached to. They definitely don't. I have one more absolutely hollow NFL stuffed suit, literally stuffed suit or stuffed leather jacket, whichever way you'd like to do it, who's actually been associated with the USC's job search before.
I don't know.
Juan of the River. Jack Del Rio.
Who is actually doing a fine job as an NFL head coach.
This time?
This time and, like, everybody wants
How many times have there been? He was with the Jags, it was like a decade ago, is that correct?
He was with the Jags for 17 years.
He was with the Jags
It ended a long time ago, right?
2011 is when he got fired.
He was with them from 2003 to 2011.
But let me just say this. In his time with the Jags, he went 8-8 or better 5 times in 9 years. Look at the Jags now. They kill to be 8-8. They will kill to be 8-8. Get your children off the street.
They've killed to be 8-8 and they'll do it again and it won't work. It just makes them feel better.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. They 8-8. After 2007, they fall off. They fall off. They just don't get close at all in a pretty weak division. To be fair,
Jack Del Rio has recruiting connections in California, in Florida, and Colorado.
That's disgusting. So,
3 hotbeds.
Also got a punter maimed in his locker room.
So was there a point where I'm not going to look it up? Where the AFC South had Jack Del Rio, Jeff Fisher, Jim Caldwell, and who would have been the Texans head coach at that point? Kubiak?
Gary Kubiak?
Oh my God. We need to stop talking about this. I feel sick.
A crop of talent. I hope there's a photo. The AFC South convention.
The team photo?
Do they do that? Do they have AFC South Media Day like in college?
This podcast is just infected with the wasting disease that is the NFL.
Is there an AFC South network that you can watch, like the Big Ten network?
Yeah, it's on CW.
It's like Channel 4000.
Yeah, it's on like whatever the WB is now.
Welcome to One TD.
I loved if pro divisions acted like college conferences. Like
this week on One TD Lane.
if the AFC East were like on basically like, you know, like the YES Network. On some sort of horrible northeastern cable,
right?
Basic cable channel, that would be perfect.
James Vanderbeek guest stars on Texans football.
Man, the Raiders Network would be incredible. It'd just be all like, God, what would it just be like? Walker, Texas Rangers.
It'd be like dudes in like 1978 just murdering each other.
Just Ice Cube with a like 10 o'clock show where he debates the debt ceiling with a man dressed in body paint.
No, man, it's just like a picture of Ice Cube, and they play Death Certificate for 3 hours straight. it'd be a better cable channel than half the things on. This is a week where we have a game we don't want to talk about. Hey, Ryan, guess who Florida plays this week?
I don't. Why? You
yeah,
just
guess
said
who we play this week. Come on.
It's Georgia. Tell me. It's fucking Georgia.
Get it out of your mouth.
Fucking Georgia.
You're a bad man.
I'm a terrible human. We play Georgia this week. The world's largest cocktail party.
Everyone loves this game.
Who loves it? Who
no
loves
one,
this
no
game?
No one loves this
game. Everyone loves this game.
No. This has been, it may have been a glorious spectacle to watch Georgia struggle even with Ron Zook, but the Muschamp years completely soiled this game because every single year it was the worst game played. Every single year.
That was the thing, is that Mark Richt did not have the decency to take Florida's doldrumiest years and sup on them in disgusting 30-point win fashion.
Nope. Unwatchable, horrible 24-17 garbage fires. Every single one of them, except for last year. And we couldn't even do that right because as fantastic a game as that was in terms of the shame and hatred that we would have to feel for Georgia, right? Like the deliciousness of that was completely unsavory thanks to the notion that it almost cost us keeping Will Muschamp.
Yeah. And we basically had to beat Georgia Tech for a week to beat Georgia. So that was fun. Georgia lost to Georgia Tech twice last year.
Yeah, congratulations. A hell of an engineer, the Florida Gator. Yeah, but that Will Muschamp couldn't even give us that. No. He had to screw that up as well.
What would you describe your confidence level in Florida going into this game, Spencer? If any,
I mean, not bad. Okay. How's that? Not bad. Like pretty rational. Feeling okay. Like I see ways that we could lose this game, and I see ways that we could easily win this game as well. Because Georgia's kind of a shambles, and that's probably when they're most dangerous. But at the same time, those shambles can't be unshambled, because I think they do have legit problems at quarterback. I think we got a mean defensive line. I think that offensively they've lost their identity in terms of what they do. I don't think they have much in the way of quarterback development coming from the staff. I just don't think that they're either congealed as a staff or capable of doing that. And defensively, they'll give up yards. They will. They have and they will. Like the biggest this year's Georgia-South Carolina game was to 2015 what the Texas A&M-South Carolina game was to 2014. Like the extremely illusory early result that I think ruined the team's expectations for what was actually going to happen down the road.
Okay. I still have no confidence whatsoever and am fully prepared for Florida to lose this game in a turnover-filled, let's call it, 2-touchdown loss.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I am broken, and you shouldn't listen to me.
Florida's only favored by 3 here.
That's about right.
That feels fine.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, it's not at home, but it's closer to Florida. I feel like if this neutral site, we're talking about like 2 points.
I don't think I can emphasize.
Like Florida's been two points better than Georgia so far.
I don't think how much I can emphasize that the cocktail party Everbank Field in Jacksonville truly feels neutral.
Well, yeah, that's because, I mean, you look around and you see Jags stuff. I'm just saying from the perspective of travel for players and so forth, not like number of fans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. I just... You should know this, too, that Georgia's – oh, man. Georgia let Tennessee have 519 total yards. They let Alabama have 379, but honestly, like, Alabama pulled up. They really did. They could have had well over 400 yards in that game. They let Vanderbilt have 400 total yards and just feasted off turnovers.
Damn. This is the same Vanderbilt that just beat Missouri 10-3?
Uh-huh, and yeah. It's the same Georgia team that won over Missouri 9-6.
Oh, God, I forgot that game existed.
Yeah.
So, like, how are your emotions swaying learning this information, Ryan?
Honestly,
are you feeling more, like, uncomfortable confidence?
It's making me feel worse because all you're doing is emphasizing that Florida should win this game. And now I just feel crummier about the possibility that they won't.
I mean, Florida beat Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to look like every other Florida game. They'll probably score on their opening two drives, slow down for a while, get one late hit. I mean, this probably looks like a 21-17 game.
Oh, God. So every other Florida-Georgia game for the last 5 years.
Yeah. Nice. With a greater chance of us coming out of it because this coaching staff is smart.
That's true. Fine. This
coaching staff's pretty smart, and they know what they don't have and what they do have. And our defensive line is filled with, you know, angry monsters from another dimension. So that's a good thing. I'm trying to talk you up to mildly depressed.
This is a weird dynamic because usually you are the most negative person about Florida.
That's true. It's true. I'm a terrible fan.
Can we move on, please?
Yeah, I'd love to move on. I would love to literally talk about anything else.
Okay.
why don't we put this on our unaligned soulless brother who does not have a team that drives him absolutely insane every single week. That'd be Jason Kirk. Jason, to the passionless, objective watcher of a fan that you are,
everything is fine.
As a soulless robot of a sports observer,
I prefer the term unkillable cyborg. But sure,
I always think of Jason more as like a wandering warrior, just without a master.
he's the Keith Carradine.
He's a Ronin.
Just wandering around. You have my sword. Although I also do think of him as like David in Prometheus, right? Like, it's fascinating. Why don't we put this in your bloodstream and see what happens? Why don't we see what happens if we put Muschamp in your bloodstream? I'm like, no!
I feel like it's more like I'm a Pokemon collector because I'm like, sure, I'll try out being a Michigan State fan, Arkansas fan, Utah fan, and I'm adding Houston too. So I'll have a team at every conference.
At one point, Jason Kirk will talk shit about me too, though. He'll get attached to a Pokemon, he'll talk shit to me too, and then get turned to stone.
Or I'll like talk shit about one of my own teams accidentally.
Yeah, then you'll get turned to stone. You'll have to, like, the Pokemon tears will have to revive you.
But here's a game, though. Stanford at Washington State at 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
Hell yeah.
Quite arguably the biggest game of the weekend because the winner basically wins the Pac-12 North and goes to the conference championship. And, like, these two teams have both been hot. If you haven't looked up Washington State's passing stats over the past three games, protective eyewear first. Woo. It's, like, basically the photographs of Stanford's linemen's butts as passing numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just large and shapely. Two teams with drastically different styles, and the worst team gets home advantage in a really weird place to play, hopefully with crazy weather, probably not, but real late at night for some of us. This is going to be real fun.
So
yeah. Probably for like 8 minutes. But
also as directly opposed as two teams can possibly be in terms of overall philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Stanford can score with anybody. They'll just do it their own way. Whereas Washington State, they, whether they're up, whether they're behind, whether things are good or bad, here they come.
It's a little bit of a shame, though, because we're building this up, and it is a road game for Stanford. And this being a road game for Stanford, they are going to button down. They are going to some of the cooler things that they've been doing offensively will be replaced by drudge. They will just attempt to turn the other team into like a tackling sled. for the entire second half of this game. If they get up early, they will try nothing. Nothing interesting, which still might work because Christian McCaffrey's carrying the ball out of the backfield. And, again, people who go to bed early, East Coasters, Christian McCaffrey is astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. I think over the past three games, he's totaled 600 yards of total production because they have returning kicks, too. He's just been amazing. So, at the very least, you get to see that. You get to see a Washington State offense that actually looks like a Mike Leach offense. Like a proper Mike Leach offense. They're going to throw the ball 60 times, but they'll actually score points.
And they run the ball. They're not an amazing running team.
A little,
but,
yeah.
But they have already in, what, seven games this season? They've already run for 160 more yards than they did all of last season.
Yeah, because
it's not an amazing. It's very much a 3.5-4 yards per carry running attack, but it's a hell of a lot better than what they did last year.
I feel like that was probably all before the famous vine of Mike Leach staring off into space while someone's gesturing at him to make a call. Like that moment was, and he was like, "What the hell? What do we have all these rushing yards?
What are we doing?
I gotta take back the wheel.
This is not my beautiful wife."
Yeah, you think he was thinking about football? He wasn't. I guarantee you. He was probably like, "What was it like, the Battle of Little Bighorn?
What if Blackbeard and the Mata Hari had a baby, and that baby was me?"
Yeah, this happened.
Yeah, coach, that baby. Go for one.
Yeah, we go for one or two. You go for one. It's easy here. Come on, coach. We have to go for. Then go for two.
Listen.
So easy. God, football's not hard. Yeah, that's it. It's been a very interesting season for them because they have there is the capacity in this team. It's possible that they could end up finishing first in their division. They could end up making the Pac-12 championship game. They really could. Like, it's not likely, but it's possible. And
quite possible.
They could do that after opening the season by losing to Portland State. FCS Portland State.
They're probably going to win at least 8 games.
I wouldn't go that far.
You don't think they have 3 games left they can win on here? They still get to play Arizona State, Colorado, and Washington.
Okay, they can beat Colorado.
Okay, yeah. I think they could probably beat Washington.
It's the Apple Cup, and I generally give the advantage to Washington State in bad years.
Okay.
The Apple Cup. I don't know why. I have nothing scientific to back that up.
All right. Then here's the other game. UCLA,
let's put him at 6.5.
UCLA in mid-November after we've all gotten back on the UCLA bandwagon.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay. If UCLA racks up like a couple wins, then yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll need another injury. You'll need Josh Rosen to get, like, typhus from his hot tub.
They took away his hot tub, so he'll have to, like, sprain an ankle trying to get back his hot tub.
I was going to say, he'll have to do that because he went to the hot tub in the locker room and slipped and, like, bruised his hip.
No!
I told you guys it'd be easier if it were in my room.
This
is on you, housing staff.
And it's always on you, housing staff. You guys are dicks.
Then you have to go beat Washington State housing staff.
Yeah, which, you know, I put Washington State only as 7-point favorites.
True. Washington State's roster is mostly consisting of former housing staff, so.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, we're going to run RA34 green left. RA34 green left. Like a Mike Leach play calls that long.
Yeah, we had a players-only hall meeting.
We've decided to have a social on Thursday. Ice cream only. The other games this week of interest besides besides Washington State and Stanford, the late night special, which is actually of some serious value.
Thanks, we kind
of
think, Pac-12.
Yeah. We have kind of another weird game. If you want to just throw another wrench in the completely fouled machinery of the SEC West, that'd be Ole Miss at Auburn, because Auburn's terrible and therefore probably pretty dangerous. Hosting Ole Miss in a road game for the Rebels. Auburn's not going to win this game. I'm building it up. It's Auburn's terrible.
Why? Why are they so bad?
This game's at noon.
I'm telling you, Will Muschamp's going somewhere else after this year. This is not working.
Miami.
I don't think the staff is on the same page.
Someone floated South Carolina for him.
Oh God. I mean, But that he almost took that defensive coordinator job, right? It was basically between Auburn and South Carolina.
It was Auburn and A&M were the...
Was that the other... Okay.
Well, A&M was also in it, and then A&M sort of had a had another thing going on.
And then South Carolina found them a hoke.
Yeah.
And South Carolina decided, yeah, we'll just add a hoke to what we already got. That'll be good.
I found this hoke at a garage sale. You can take that off to college. We don't have to buy you a new laptop.
A new hoke.
It's like buying a used Alfa Romeo. It's just...
Do they even make parts for this hoke anymore? Nope.
Nope. You gotta use a Fiat carburetor on that. The other that's bad. It's very, very bad. The other games of interest: USC at Cal. USC looked great. They looked phenomenal against Utah. That probably means they're going to look terrible against Cal.
Oh, it's yeah. True, but
and Cal looked real bad.
Yeah,
right against UCLA. So they're probably going to come back look real good. That just seems to be the trajectory of the Pac-12. Everybody gets three losses. Am I missing anything in this week? Which is, this is kind of a middling to good.
This is an excuse.
That's generous.
This is an excuse to shoehorn in another question. This question from Wade at 7dub7 wanted us to say a few nice things about Pitt football. Thursday night, North Carolina at Pitt. And those are 2-6-1 teams, I believe.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
Here we are. It's October 27th when we're recording this, and Pitt is 6-1.
And North Carolina is 6-1, and the one was the flukiest, stupidest loss to South Carolina with three interceptions in the red zone.
Yeah, in week one, mind you. Yeah. Like the week one where you totally haven't even taken the tags off of our new shoes.
So I don't believe either of these teams has beaten anybody all that impressive at this juncture, but it's still 2-6-1 teams that could make a little bit of noise. One of these teams could be on the way to a very nice 9-win season, which, you know, if you're Larry Fedora, hey, way to bounce back in a year when the fans are really not happy with you. And if you're Pitt, look at that. You nailed the coaching hire. That feels fun.
Hired a damn magician.
And I would also point out, while we're saying nice things about Pitt, they are doing all of this without the reigning ACC player of the year, James Conner. We don't talk about it because it's Pitt, but if Florida State lost Dalvin Cook at the beginning of the year and started 6-1, we'd be tripping over ourselves talking about what a coach Jimbo was.
This is really an impressive coaching job by Pat Narduzzi. He's really buffing his resume, and is you see what's happening here, right?
Yeah.
Shit. So.
Shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. Wade. I didn't mean for this to happen.
We flew too close to the sun.
Well, there's no sun in Pittsburgh.
No. Don't worry about that.
But right now, hey, Pitt, that like Bill Connolly pointed out in the numerical today, you know, Pitt used to have like the worst close game luck in America. It was like, how is this even possible? And now they've won, I think it's like 4 one-score games this year. Their only loss was to a like 90-yard field goal by Iowa. So you can't really count that. But otherwise, like, they've been one of the clutchest teams in the country. That's pretty cool.
And by the way, with dirt, this is like, in case Pat Narduzzi hadn't learned from the master enough, doing it in classic, like, Mark D'Antonio fashion, statistically, they're crap. Like, look at all of their stats, mm-hmm. And they're all, like, middling to crap, all of them.
That said, they can pass a little bit. Nate Peterman has been pretty good for them.
Yeah,
he's like a top 30 passer right now. His numbers are not all that different. I mean, Deshaun Watson throws the ball a lot more, but in terms of, you know, yards per attempt and TD to INT and completion percentage, he's not that far from Deshaun Watson.
Which they get real efficient off play action and off of like an active run game.
Yeah, and they're only throwing the ball 18 times a game, but whatever.
As opposed to North Carolina, who just throws the ball all over the yard.
Yeah.
All the time. So this is a game where I'm like, I'm kind of talking myself into Pitt. Like, you look at it and you go, as our friends in the Solid Verbal say, you know, the shockingly decent Pitt, mm-hmm. right? Semi-decent Pitt, depending on what you want SDP to stand for.
Yeah.
I'll say shockingly. because this is a team that I don't think North Carolina, like if North Carolina turns the ball over a couple times, which they will do, then this is a team that wants you to do that. This is a team that wants you to try to do stuff so they can just take that turnover, march it down the field, get a field goal, maybe a touchdown, and then slowly close the trap in on you. So look at that. Yeah. We talked about Pitt for like 5 minutes.
Pitt is your shitty friend in third grade who always said you could make that jump on your bike, but really just wanted to laugh at you when you couldn't.
Look at you. You tried something.
Come on, man. That ramp's going to hold. We made it ourselves.
That was so dumb of you. A couple of minor things to watch this week, just of interest. Clemson at NC State. I don't know anything about NC State. I watch them play. Don't know a damn thing about them. But it's another opportunity for Clemson to flex on a relatively weak conference. Georgia Tech at Virginia. Just don't even look at it.
Why would you even invoke that? Good God.
Just saying Georgia Tech's probably going to lose that game.
Georgia Tech's plan now is to tank until they get to the Georgia game to embarrass Florida State. And that's a fine plan, and I respect it.
It's happened before.
Yep.
Totally, really has happened before. Other games of note, other games not to watch. How's this, okay? NC-17 rating on Miami at Duke.
We're going to be working out some
Duke
funds.
Which has gone from being another little throwing it around team to like having a super legit defense, and that's it. And we saw how Miami's offense looked last week, so
yeah. Speaking of super legit defenses, Vanderbilt travels to Houston for a 7 o'clock game, and I think Houston's probably going to want to show off their toys.
You think?
I think Houston is going to want to show that they can, because they already have a road win over Louisville, which looked better at the time than it probably ends up being, but whatever. Beating Vanderbilt is nobody's idea of announcing that you have arrived. That doesn't mean you can't just beat the shit out of Vanderbilt to feel better. A lot of Florida teams did that over the year. Yeah.
We also
More people witness it than they would at Vandy, so might as well do it in Houston.
Wow.
This is one thing to keep an eye on here. Just a little thing. Like, I don't think they'll have any trouble with them, but Oklahoma State goes to Texas Tech for a 3:30 game. Oklahoma State undefeated, by the way. Yeah. You're welcome. I just told you that. You didn't know it, but believe it or not.
We say this every week, and it never takes.
Real interesting matchup for Oklahoma State, because the things they do on offense just compare really in a certain way to Texas Tech. And I think Texas Tech, their offense, Patrick Mahomes, I believe it's how you pronounce his name.
That is how Mac Brown would pronounce it.
It's got a little Spanish in it.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes. He'll be able to attack the weaknesses in Oklahoma State's defense. Everyone knows them because we've all studied this team and know a lot about it.
That's true.
Also there's the dumbass, but somewhat accurate prediction of, hey, you're going to Lubbock.
Bad things.
Bad things. Even if you win, nothing but bad things happen out there. Patrick Mahomes, fine quarterback. Recruited him at safety. We might have been wrong on that call.
I always put in safety because it's the fewest letters you can put in on the recruiting form, and I just like to save ink. It's that or center.
Come watch us play at UCF next year. UCF, it's like Texas, but with Disney.
Are we going to talk at all about the game day game?
Pardon? Where are they going?
Not Pullman.
No, not going to Pullman.
They're going to Notre Dame at Temple.
Temple's not winning this game.
This is a pretty.
If Temple wins, the score is like 13-11.
Oh yeah, if Temple wins, it will be in the style of two dads fighting in a Home Depot parking lot.
If Temple wins, it will be the grossest game of the year.
Yeah, Notre Dame was in there, but then that dad started throwing up, and then Temple just kept kicking him in the neck.
See, he had a bottle of window cleaner, and he came clear. Old boy came clear across the top of his head with it, and then he wasn't right for the rest of the fight. You know, he's bigger and stronger. You can tell he goes to the gym. Other dude, though, he done took this rake, which ain't fair, but he had it.
So now we're talking like dad extreme backyard wrestling.
Anyway, I got the backsplash that you asked for.
Like he would have jumped off the table, but that's a real nice table.
Mm-hmm. And his knee gets tricky when it starts to rain.
And by the way,
well, while he was up on the roof to do the Senton splash off there, he decided to go ahead and
clean out
and,
the gutters. You know,
clean the gutters.
AAC! AAC! AAC!